Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Mabin, Mississippi. We invite you to stay tuned for our message.
Welcome, listening friends, to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, welcoming you again. I also welcome you on behalf of Elder David Wise, a good and faithful pastor of Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Mabin, Mississippi. Both of our churches meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we would love to see you. We're praying to see you. We're looking forward to seeing you. If you'd like to join us for live streams, you can go to the Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church Facebook page, hit like, activate the notifications, and we live stream all of our services at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and also at 6 p.m. every Wednesday night, where we meet in the grounds of New Covenant Church at 200 West Garrett Road in Starkville every Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. You can join us for our live stream, or we'd rather you just join us in person. We start at 6 p.m. on the dot. We have a brief song service, a biblical message, and then we are wrapping up by 7 p.m., and then we sit and have a meal together. We would love to have you come and join us for that every Wednesday evening in Starkville. We just want you to come and visit with us. So you may be wondering, what is a Primitive Baptist worship service like? Well, it's very simple. For one thing, I'm called to preach and to teach, and you're called to come and to listen and to learn. We sing together as a congregation. Nobody gets up and has performances. There's no big I's and little U's. Nobody's going to try to put you over a Sunday school class. Nobody's going to stick you on a committee. No, we just all come together in one large assembly, young and old, families, singles, whatever the case may be. We all worship together in family integrated worship. And it's very simple. It's that old-time religion. And it's very peaceable. There's not a bunch of loud musical instruments, frenetic activity. We don't have any spiritual dancers or laser light shows or smoke machines or anything else. We just have what Jesus and the apostles left us. And that is simple worship, simply believing in the saving grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we would love for you to come and join us. Today, we have a message called The Lord of Breakthroughs. Thank you for staying tuned with us. And I'm turned in my Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 17 through 25 of 2 Samuel chapter 5 this morning. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of water." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. So here we see a great victory was wrought by the power of God. God, the master or the Lord of breakthroughs. That's what Baal Perazim means. Master of breakthroughs. And here God had blessed, even though the Philistines had intentions on destroying Israel, Israel was able to break through their lines and slay a great many of them that day, achieving the victory. This was a face-to-face battle there in that area of Rephaim. But it doesn't stop there. So here, great victory was wrought. Yay! And verse 22 says, "And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim." Here it goes. All over again. Here they've come back for more in the Valley of Rephaim. Here they've spread themselves in the Valley of Rephaim just like before. This was the setting how they got utterly destroyed last time. But here they are again. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them." That means go around them, circle around them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Now here, the master of breakthroughs, the Lord of breakthroughs, had given him their instructions. Now, we might ask ourselves, why didn't he do it exactly the same way the second time? If God had the power to empower them to do a face-to-face battle in the Valley of Rephaim that day, why didn't he just do it again? Well, friends, first we need to understand that God's not obligated to do every single interjection into our lives, every single miracle, every single work in our lives in exactly the same way. He is a God of such great power, omniscience, and intellect we cannot even begin to conceive of. And so he manifests himself to us, his deliverance unto us, in multiple different ways. And somebody may say, well, why is that? Because he can. Because he can. First time he told them, go face to face and lick them. And that's exactly what they did. But here he gave them an alternate way. This is no battle plan that David or any of his generals would have come up with. Any of his mighty men, none of them would have said, hey, let's do a little different this time. Let's circle around and wait until we hear a going in the mulberry trees. And it makes me wonder, what is a going in the mulberry trees? Boy, it must have been something fine. Took place in the top of those mulberry trees, because the Lord said, when you see that and hear that, you bestir yourself. That means get fired up, because victory is about to happen. It reminds me of that old Jerry Clower story when Marcel Ledbetter climbed up in the top of the tree when they were coon hunting. He treed what he thought was a coon. Old Marcel got up there and found out it was a mean, big bobcat. And they just went to fight. He said, oh, it was something terrible going on up in that tree. And Marcel said, shoot, Jerry, shoot, shoot. And Jerry said, well, I might hit you. And Marcel said, shoot up in amongst us, son. One of us got to have some relief. You know, it was a going in the top of that tree with that bobcat. I don't know what this going in the top of the mulberry trees was, but it was something special, something miraculous, and something the Lord had told them to wait for. Now, we get a picture of God of breakthroughs. Here, Israel, they were outmanned, as it were, outfitted, out-equipped by the Philistines. They were a well-established, fierce, warring nation by this time. But here, God is able to save by many, or God is able to save by few. And he gave them their alternate way. We need to understand, my friends, though he is the same Lord, he gives us the victory in multiple ways, okay? And by that same token, he can also punish us through multiple avenues. Don't forget that, okay? Though God is sovereign in using various means to fulfill his will, this does not give us liberty to alter his word. What do I mean by that? Because some people want to say, well, you know, if God can just give me victory in any number of ways that God determines, then I'll just go out and have my fill of sin, or I'll go out and live loose and free and any way I want to, and God can somehow work the victory through that. Now, God can do what God's determined to do. And God has even given victory in the face of bold disobedience by his children before. That's God's prerogative. God's sovereign. God can do that. But that does not mean it is appropriate to have that attitude. The attitude we have in the Word of God is that we serve the Master of breakthroughs, the Lord of breakthroughs, and he is able to give us the victory. Therefore, why should we not want to serve him? Why should we not want to do things the right and correct way? Just because he is able to give us the victory does not give us the right to live in a cavalier way. Oh, shall we sin because we believe in grace? God forbid. So we're to be obedient people, okay? You know, in the very next chapter, in this context here in 2 Samuel, we see that Uzzah learned that the hard way. David and his band of people decided they were going to move the Ark of the Covenant. And what did they do? They didn't follow the word. God had told them exactly in the law how that ark was to be treated, respected, and was to be carried. It was not commanded for it to be put upon a new cart. Somebody may say, ooh, a brand new cart fitting for the occasion. No, if it's not according to the word of God, it is not fitting for the occasion. Okay? Remember that. If it's according to the Word of God, that's what's important to God. And Uzzah, even though I believe he was well-meaning and reaching up trying to steady the Ark of the Covenant because the oxen stumbled, he was struck dead. Now, somebody may say, that's very harsh. Well, my friends, that's our God when it comes to his sovereignty and his will and his way and his word. We are to obey him because he is worthy of that. Please don't see God as harsh. Man, just stop and count your blessings. See how greatly God has blessed you, because you don't deserve one of the breaths that has entered into your lung. You don't deserve one happy thought. You've never deserved one moment of peace. You've never deserved to be able to get over the common cold. God has blessed you in all these things, and when you live with that perspective, great things are awaiting you in your lives, okay? Let's look at Job. I want to go to the book of Job. Now, Job had to discover this the hard way. He needed to get his mind right, his perspective askew. Let me tell you something. If you're not looking at things from the proper perspective, it can make a huge difference. Remember in the days when King Jehoshaphat and those wicked kings, the king of Edom and the king of Israel, when they went out in the wilderness, they were going to fight a battle. Well, they got out there, got in hard straits, got in a drought, got thirsty, and they just decided, you know, we're going to die. Well, Elisha faced them and said, look, you wicked ne'er-do-wells, if it wasn't for the king Jehoshaphat here, I would never even stop and talk to you and help you. But he said, go and dig ditches. And tomorrow you're going to have the victory. They'll be filled with water. Go and dig ditches. Now, nobody would say, wow. We're starving to death. We're dying of thirst. It's hot. We're out in the middle of nowhere. We're just on the verge of getting utterly defeated. I don't think we should be digging ditches. He didn't say dig trenches to fight in. This is not like a World War I initiative here or stratagem. No, he said, go dig ditches, ditches that are suitable for water. They're not going to protect you from anything. And somebody may say, well, why are we doing this? Because God said to do it. Because God said to do it. And they dug ditches. And you know, the next day, God filled it with water without a drop of rain. Filled those ditches with water. Well, from the perspective of the children of God, who were there in a foolish venture, God gave them the victory because they got water. Water to drink. And from their perspective, it was their salvation. But from the perspective of their enemy, they looked and saw blood. Okay, I don't know if it was the beams of light from the sun making it look like blood, or if God just in their eyes showed it to them as blood. But when they saw these rivulets of blood flowing down, they said, aha, our enemies have fallen upon themselves and slain each other. Let us go and get them. And you know what? They were utterly destroyed because from their perspective, they saw defeat. From the perspective of God's children, it was victory. When Jesus hung upon the tree of the cross, my friends, somebody sitting at the foot of that cross might look and say, this is defeat. But yet when you're looking through the prophecies and the word of God, you are able to declare, as even that centurion who had great spiritual vision and light that day declared, said, surely this is the Son of God. You see, your perspective needs to be right. And when you're founded in the word of God and you see God's ways and God's power, you can get your perspective right as you live step by step, day by day in this world, walking not by sight, but by faith. So Job had to learn this. Job 16, I'm going to read verses 11 and a few verses thereafter. God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces, and set me up for his mark. Here Job is describing God as one who is taking perverse pleasure in shaking him. You know, don't shake your baby, don't shake your baby. I'm a registered nurse, and one of the most dreadful things to ever see is a shaken baby, one who's been shaken to the point they have neurological damage. It's a dreadful thing. And here Job is just basically painting God as a foul parent who is so mean, angry at him. He's just shaking him. Shaking him to his core. His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. This word breach in the Hebrew is the same as breach in our text earlier. Breakthrough. See what Job is saying God is breaking through to destroy me. But what he didn't have the patience that he should have had. Oh, Job was very patient. We know the word of God gives us that. But he was going to learn some valuable lessons and a new perspective, because what he perceived as God destroying him was God actually doubly blessing him. God was going to bring him through the greatest travail that anyone could basically conceive of, and he was going to be more strong, more peaceable, more learned on the other side, and could greatly and boldly say, I have spoken with Jehovah. I have spoken and had an experience with my Lord. Oh, he is the God of breakthroughs. Job perceived only pain and self-justification when he said that. He never would have guessed the deliverance at the end. God's blessings bestowed what was the real breakthrough for Job. So, my friends, when you're facing hard times, things you don't understand, you can understand one thing. God is real and God is in control. And if you love him and you seek after him, that's an evidence God is in your heart. So, therefore, trust in him. All right, in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us about the greatest breakthrough the Master, the Lord of breakthroughs, has done for us. In Hebrews chapter 10, he says, let us hold fast. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Boy, isn't it a breakthrough in your life when you consider other people and when your mind is focused on assembling together with good, God-fearing people and seeking their well-being? He said, not the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's being an encourager, an exhorter. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. That sounds like somebody who's had a breakthrough in their lives, right? They're able to draw nigh unto the Lord, nearer and nearer unto God through their faith. And they're putting that faith to work. They're encouraging other people. They're loving other people. They're assembling with other people. They're strengthened by these numbers of the church and the kingdom of God. But understand this, friends, you could never experience this breakthrough except the breakthrough that was described just before this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18, he says, now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, being represented in the holiest of holies in the presence of the Father in heaven, is the greatest breakthrough one could imagine. Amen. Well, here he said, before you can walk by faith, these are things you already have. Jesus has already made a breakthrough for you. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and by a new and living way. Oh, you don't have to usher yourself through a thick curtain in the holiest of holies. This is a new and living way. You don't have to kill turtle doves, kill goats and beasts, and have the blood presented within the holiest of holies for you by some priest or high priest. No, my friends, this is a new and living way. This is not by the killing of beasts, and this is not by the offering of your own lives, but this is by a new and living way of the one sacrifice that was given for the elect family of God forever and in perfection. And it is the flesh and the life and the suffering of Jesus Christ, who represented us 2,000 years ago. He said, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. You see, you don't have to wait for a priest to make intercession for you today, friends. If you're among a religious order and you think you need the intercession of even the saints in heaven, or even the intercession of a man calling himself a priest here on earth, then I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, see that you already have a high priest, the only high priest that was ever determined. All the rest were types and shadows and representations. We have Jesus Christ, high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who is over the house of God, who is entered in and made that breakthrough for us. And then after he says all that, now he says, having all those things, not trying to obtain all those things, but already having all those things and being held in possession by the Father in heaven, who hath adopted you through the Holy Spirit of adoption, and because of the merits of the blood and suffering of Christ, your atonement, He says, let us draw near. Oh, let us then have that breakthrough of resting and realizing our sins have been put away and God is our God, Jesus is our Lord, and we can serve him with a peace in our conscience. But then, knowing that, there's still yet another breakthrough, my friends, and that's the Lord of breakthroughs will bless you with one of the most powerful breakthroughs in your life, and that is to get your mind right. We already talked about the perspective, and this kind of is entailed in that as well. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We talk about a Lord of breakthroughs. If you're his child, if he's broken through, through the breaking of his flesh, and he's entered into heaven for you, and he's quickened you by his Spirit, and now, my friends, you're able to know the Word of God and see the Word of God and study the Word of God, and you're able to draw nigh unto him through faith, and you're able to rest in the finished work of Jesus, and you don't think you have to carry around your old sin debt. You don't have to work it out through cold, dead works. No. Once you've come to that point, then you need to get your mind right. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And by the flesh, he just means things that you innately decide or work to do. Many people say, well, you could just draw nigh to Christ. You just got to decide to do it. Not so. You've got to be quickened of the Spirit of God to be able to draw nigh unto Christ. That's God's business. God is sovereign in the salvation of his elect. And I'll tell you, not just any Tom, Dick, or Harry, you'd have to be willingly ignorant of so many clear scriptures in the Bible to believe that. A man in his innate, corrupt nature cannot approach unto God. He has no desire unto God. None of God's not in all of his thoughts, according to the Word of God. But here he says, it's not the flesh. Here he said, because now your weapons of warfare are completely different. Otherworldly, transcendent, supernatural. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Through God, who has given you the power and the Spirit, casting down, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Notice what he said. Once you get control of your mind, once you give your mind over to Christ, you see, Christ wins the heart, soul, and spirit. He's the one who quickens that and changes it and gives you a conviction and a yearning for God. And once, my friends, that has happened, you're able to give your mind over to Christ. Everybody says, give your heart to Christ. I tell you today, nay. Give your mind to Christ. If you even have a desire to draw nigh to the Lord, it shows that he already is in your heart. Now give your mind over to Christ. Stop trying to use carnal weapons in this warfare. Have a breakthrough, the breakthrough of breakthroughs while you can live here on this earth. And that is, stop looking on things after the outward appearance. You see, remember our text, a going in the mulberry trees. Go around, wait for the going in the mulberry tree. Why didn't God do the exact same thing both times? Because, man, I read in the Word of God, God is sovereign, God is able, God is omniscient. God is able to work directly, and God is able to work through other people. And I can just rest in that and say, you know what? I'm going to focus my mind on Christ, and I don't have to live my life trying to work out the logistics of today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I'm not telling you don't try to plan. I'm not telling you don't try to provide for the future. I mean, do the best you can. But if you turn that into your God and you turn your own confidence in your own decisions into your God, you will be sorely disappointed. No, do the best you can, but you leave the resolution of it into the hands of God. When you come to that point in your life of you're giving your mind over, you can fully understand what it says in Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. In other words, just do the best you can, but trust that the resolution of it all is in the Lord. And there is great peace in that. You've given your mind over to Christ. Stop looking on things after the outward appearance. Brothers and sisters, I command you tenderly. I exhort you. I enjoin upon you through the authority of God's word to give your mind over to Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, wherefore, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. you may be saying, well, I'm going to have a breakthrough when I pick the right Christian group to listen to. I'm going to have a breakthrough when I get the right job. Or one day I'll have a breakthrough when I have more time and more money. And I'm going to have a breakthrough by getting the right combination of psychotropic or mental health drugs. Or I'm going to have a breakthrough one day when things start going my way, when I win the lottery, or yada, yada, yada. There's any number of ways that the heart of man will devise his own steps. But my friends, let me tell you something. You're going to have a breakthrough when you give your mind over to the Lord who owns your heart. That's when you're going to have the greatest breakthrough. And it's not going to be found in any of these ways. They may have their benefits, they may have their merits, but the greatest breakthrough you can have is when you spend lots of time in prayer with your Lord, praying things according to His Word, saying, Lord, choose my changes for me. And when you're going into the Holy Word of God and studying with an earnest, hungry heart, and you put those words into action in your lives. And when you're seeking the right church that teaches these things, that lives these things before mankind, they may not be the laser light show church that everybody else is going to. Pray for discernment and guidance. Open your eyes. I personally believe that I have found such a body, the closest representation of the visible church and kingdom of Jesus Christ as He and His disciples established it upon the earth in the old line Primitive Baptist Church. And I would invite you to come visit us at Sulphur Springs or Clear Springs or any Primitive Baptist church in your area. If you want to find one, go to clearspringspbc.com. I think there's a link to a church locator and all of that there. But my friends, come and visit us. We would love to have you, and we would love to help you, and would appreciate your help toward us in helping us keeping our mind centered on Christ and not looking on things after the outward appearance, but casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For He truly is the Lord, the Master of breakthroughs. And I pray that this message will serve to encourage you to have a breakthrough in the Lord in your life. Until we're able to speak with you again on such wonderful, august, and noble subjects, may the Lord richly bless you all.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall this praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Gospel of Grace, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. For contact information and to listen to messages online, you can visit our website at clearspringspbc.com. Our program is also available as iTunes podcasts under the title The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. We love to hear from our listeners. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Tune in next week for another Gospel of Grace message. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Wonderful.